Canto 3. To enter the lost city, go through me. Through me you go to meet a suffering, unceasing and eternal. You will be with people who through me lost everything. My Maker, moved by justice, lives above. Through him the holy power I was made, made by the height of wisdom and first love, whose laws all those in here once disobeyed. From now on, every day feels like your last, forever. Let that be your greatest fear. Your future now is to regret the past. Forget your hopes. They were what brought you here. Dark both in color and in what they meant, these words incised upon a city gate, I read and whispered, Master, the intent of this inscription makes me hesitate. And he to me, reading my secret mind, said, Here you must renounce your slightest doubt, and kill your every weakness. Leave behind all thoughts of safety first, or be shut out. We have arrived where all those who have lost the sum of intellect, which is the Lord, bewail their fate, and always count the cost, forever far more than they can afford. I told you of this place. He held my hand, and even smiled, which gave some comfort when he led me through the gate to a strange land, where sighs and moans and screams of ruined men, filling the air beneath a starless sky, resounded everywhere, and everywhere was there inside me. I began to cry, stunned by the sound of an unseen nightmare. Inhuman outcries in all human tongues, bad language, bursts of anger, yelps of pain, shrill scrambled messages from aching lungs and clapped hands, self-applause of the insane. All this was whipped by its own energy into a timeless tumult without form, dark as a whirlpool in a dead black sea, or a whirlwind sucking sand into a storm. Ears ringing to the center of my brain from horror. Master, what furor is this? I asked. Who are they so distraught with pain? Then he. Their pride to have no prejudice, seeking no praise for fear of taking blame. They were for nothing, nor were they against. They made no waves, and so they made no name. Now their neutrality is recompensed, for here there is no cautious holding back. Voices once circumspect are now incensed and raised to make each other's eardrums crack. Thus they are joined to that self-seeking squad of angels fitted neither to rebel against nor put their heartfelt faith in God. Hunted from heaven and locked out of hell, because the perfect sky would brook no blur, and in the lower depths the rebels prize the glory won from being what they were, not the non-entities that they despised. And I, but Master, what could grieve them so, to make them not just so sad but so loud? And he, to put it briefly, they have no death to look forward to. Their only shroud will be this darkness. They are condemned to live in envy always, even of the damned. The world that gives fame to a fugitive gave none of that to them. Instead, it slammed the door on them. And as for him on high, his mercy and his justice he withdraws. They never even get to see the sky that will not have them. But we should not pause so long for wastrels weeping for what's gone. Enough of this. All that there is to see, you've seen. It's nothing. Time that we moved on. But I, wide-eyed in that cacophony, saw something that my gaze could fix upon at last. An ensign, twisting without rest because it knew no victory or defeat, and fast behind it ran a crowd, I guessed, no frightened city taking to its feet to flee an earthquake could outnumber. So many there were, I would not have believed death had undone so many. There was no obstruction now to vision. Those who grieved were in plain sight, and some I recognized. Among them, Celestine, of heart so faint, he made the great refusal. If he prized the papal throne, and some call him a saint, so much he should have sat on it, and not left it to be usurped by Boniface, who ruined Florence. Rooted to this spot, I saw and knew for certain that this race of never-living sprinters were the ones who once believed fence-sitting no disgrace, but now they sit no more. The whole bunch runs naked, with flies and wasps to stimulate their actions at long last, and their scratched cheeks spill blood that joins with tears to satiate. A soup lapped from their footsteps as it leaks, the mass of squirming worms that forms their track. And when I look beyond, I saw the bank of a mighty river and another pack of people. I said, Master, whom I thank for secret knowledge, let me be allowed to know who these ones are and why they seem so ready with a single mind endowed to cross in this grim light so great a stream. And he, this matter I will speak upon when you and I, like them, come to a halt at that sad river called the Acheron. My gaze cast down in shame, fearing my fault of curiosity stuck in his throat, I kept my silence until we were there, when suddenly an old man in a boat headed towards us, tossing his white hair as he cried, Woe to you and to your souls! Give up your hopes of heaven! I have come to take you to the other side. Hot coals and ice await to brand you and benumb in everlasting shadow. As for you, you living one, this route is for the dead. Leave it to them. But when I did not do his bidding, By another way, he said, through other ports and to a different shore your passage will be worked, but not through here, for you a lighter boat than mine's in store. And then my leader, Charon, never fear. All this is wanted there where what is willed is said and done, so more than that don't ask. At these hard words the bristling jaws were stilled, and the eyes blinked in the wrinkled flame-red mask of the ferry pilot of the pitch-black marsh. But all those naked souls unhinged by fate changed color when they heard that speech so harsh. Clicking their bared, chipped teeth in hymns of hate, they cursed their parents, God, the human race, the time, the temperature, the place of birth, their mothers, fathers, brothers' stupid face, and everything of worth or nothing worth that they could think of. Then they squeezed up tight together, sobbing on the ragged edge that waits for all who hold God in despite. Charon, the demon, with hot coals for eyes, herds them yet closer with time-tested signs. To anyone who lingers, he applies his oar, and as the autumn redefines a branch by taking off its dead leaves one by one until the branch looks down and knows its own dress falling as it comes undone, so Adam's bad seed, grain by bad grain, throws itself from that cliff not just at a run but flying, as the falcon to the glove swoops home when signaled. Out across the black water they flock, where at the heights above that they have left, without a pause, go back to being thick with people, a dark spring, filling the branch for its next emptiness. My son, from many countries they take wing, my master said, but just the one distress collects them here. God's wrath, in which they died, came from his justice, which now turns their fear into desire to see the other side. No soul worth saving ever comes through here, so Charon's anger you can understand, and understand why he spoke in that tone. At which point the dark ground we stood on heaved, so violently the shock wave can still soak my memory with sweat, as if it grieved, the earth wept while it moved, and plumes of smoke went sideways with the wind. A red light shone. My reeling senses gave out. I was gone.